Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I am your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5, 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network, and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Mark of the Beast right after this message. The income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's a foreign and an alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. These foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes. And we practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods. We call those government. And you know, we don't get away with these crimes either. We're now paying up to 74% of everything we create and produce in taxes, and we live in mortgaged homes owned by savings and loan companies. We drive cars that are owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has a $70,000 consumer debt. We owe a $6 trillion national debt. We're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. Our financial institutions are leveraged out to another $60 trillion worldwide, and we're the surety underwriters for that debt. And our Social Security system is bankrupt. It's a chain letter Ponzi scheme. And then the average Joe Sixpack lives from paycheck to paycheck, and we're taught to call all of this prosperity. It's prosperity. Well, let me tell you, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention followed that better way. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life than Social Security and income tax, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. And best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call right now and order yours. The number is 417-273-4967 to order that free general law CD package. Remember, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the world's number one science and technology innovation called the Roborat, controlled by brain electrodes. Here's another article on that same subject or same topic from New Science. NewScientist.com. That's NEWSCIENTIST.com. The age of the living robot is upon us, and all it takes to turn a living rat into a radio-controlled automaton is three electrodes carefully placed in the animal's brain. Simply pressing keys on a computer 500 meters away will then steer the animal over an obstacle course, making it twist, turn, and even jump on demand. The researchers responsible for the Roborat claim that their work will give neuroscientists a better understanding of how mammals learn to navigate. They say it will help pinpoint biochemical changes in the brain and which brain regions are involved in processing different behaviors. They even suggest that such rats could be used to help clear minefields. But beyond this, lead researcher, a guy by the name of Sanjiv Telwar, sounds like a fellow from India to me, of the State University of New York in New York City, is uncertain what benefits will emerge from the experiments. Now, here's a guy that's creating this new technology. He says, I really don't know what good thing is going to come out of this, but let's do it anyway because we can. And furthermore, that's what I make my living doing. And you know, that's what scientists live for. They get a paycheck every Friday. Let's invent an atomic bomb. Not because we need one. Not because we're deficient in atomic or nuclear science or nuclear energy. Let's go do it just because it can be done. Or let's just see if it can be done. You know, I say that's kind of dangerous. And this roborat over here, you know, once this technology gets out into the mainstream, you know, once the genie's out of the jar, once you've eaten from the forbidden fruit, or eaten off of the forbidden tree, you know, it's too late to turn back. Now, the idea of placing living creatures under direct human command is certainly raising concerns over the animal's welfare. Now, I want to stop right there. I just can't contain myself. Animal welfare? Animal welfare. You know, we Americans are very concerned about the rights of females. We don't give a rat's rectum about the rights of the unborn fetus. We practice abortion in the United States as a form of birth control. Not because we need to, but because we can. President Clinton, when he was being interviewed by Dan Rather, said that what he did with Monica Lewinsky was wrong. And when he was asked why he did it, and he said, just because I could. That's like saying, well, I guess I can kill that guy over there. Leopold and Loeb killed a little boy named Bobby Franks back in the 1920s. Not because Bobby Franks did anything to them, or because Bobby Franks was bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil. They killed him just for a thrill crime. They just killed him because they could. Now, you have people out here that are concerned about animal welfare. Don't you think that human welfare would rank above animal welfare? You got people out here that are concerned about, oh my God, look what you're doing to those rats. What I'm concerned about is, oh my God, what are you doing to those people? Because what they are doing to the rats, they're ultimately going to do to people. This concept of cloning, you know, the president says, well, I'm opposed to this cloning. I don't think he's opposed to cloning. I think he's opposed to cloning with federal funds. Cloning will be done not because we need to, not because the world is short of human beings and we need to clone more because there's a shortage, there's a population imbalance, and we need more people. See, we've got a natural process for reproducing ourselves and producing more people. We're going to clone people because there's money to be made at it. And that's why these scientists are doing these experiments with rats. It's because that's what they get paid for doing. And there'll be some corporation behind them like Monsanto or IBM or somebody that'll fund this kind of research because gosh knows what might develop from it. We might have another industry, you know, like perhaps computers, automobiles, aircraft. It will be body parts or cloning or gene manipulation for this or that purpose. Drugs are witchcraft, and drugs are a big business worldwide. You see, today people don't want to practice the law of God, which will produce good health. What we want to do is drink and smoke and carouse and practice, witchcraft, idolatry, and sexual deviation, but we don't want to pay any penalties for it. We're a little perverse that way. I want to go out to Flo's whorehouse, but I don't want to get AIDS, herpes, or VD. Unfortunately, in the natural order, the natural law and order of the universe, of the planet, of things around us, I want to jump off the Empire State Building, but I don't want to fall down. And if I do, I don't want to fall down at terminal velocity. People jump out of airplanes with parachutes because they want to defy the law of gravity. It's like giving God the finger, you know? There's just something that's satisfying about giving God the bird and saying, see, you're a liar, you're wrong, I can jump out of an airplane and it won't kill me. And then we need to get excited, and so we tie rubber bands on our legs and jump off of bridges, you know, bungee jumping. And we humans just don't get enough excitement in life, so we have to create our own. And I guess we do it just because it can be done. Well, God made an observation back here in Genesis 11, verse 6. He said, the Eternal said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So he said, well, I'm going to slow this process down. I've got a plan that I'm working out here. So God confounded their languages and scattered people all over the world. He put the Chinese in China behind the Pacific Ocean and the Himalaya Mountains, and put the Indians down in the subcontinent, and he put the Europeans in Europe, and the blacks in Africa, and the Indians in North America. And so, and what he did was he confounded everybody's language. They all went abroad upon the earth, and they bred and reproduced and one thing and another, but they could not develop technology. What he was opposed to here was the technology that was being devised. So he said, well, I'll slow this down. And he did. He slowed it down for 4,000 years. And so now we're at that point in time that Daniel spoke of in Daniel chapter 12, where we're now talking about this thing, the mark of the beast that we see in Revelation 11, is a prophecy that comes in conjunction with Daniel 12. Daniel wanted to know what the outcome of all this was going to be. And he asked Big Mike, he says, well, tell me. And Big Mike says, no, we're not going to tell you. But you'll know this, that at the end of the age, many shall be running to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, and the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. And I pointed that out. You see, in Psalms 111:10, it tells us that a good understanding of all they who do His commandments. The opposite to that is a poor understanding of all they who do not do His commandments. So, if you want to understand this, you have to practice this law. And that's because the Bible is written in code, and that code is explained in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. And then, if you want to see how the code is actually used, an example of the use of the code, you go to Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 20, and here's Jesus of Nazareth, you know, the Messiah. He actually uses Isaiah 28, 9 through 13, and explains it to his disciples. And that's to protect all of you people out there, so that you won't know and you will not understand, so you will not be held accountable or responsible for your criminal behavior or activity. All right, so let me explain it a little bit. You got this thing called the mark of the beast coming up, and if you have the mark of the beast, God says He's going to put you through the Great Tribulation. It doesn't mean you're going to get killed. It means that you're going to have a 90% chance of getting killed, because God is engineering a plan in which 90% of Earth's population is going to be destroyed. And you'll see that in Isaiah 6, verse 13. He says He will save a tithe alive on the planet. And the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's written that way in code so that you might stumble, fall backward, be broken, ensnared, and taken. So when you come up in the judgment and you've been, you know, stumbling, and you fell backward, and you were broken and snared and taken, you can tell God, you know, you succeeded beyond your wildest expectation. I was totally out of it. I didn't understand anything. Religious people are like that. They're arguing over religion. And the Baptists, they argue and fight with the Methodists, and the Methodists argue and fight with the Catholics, and the Catholics argue and fight with the Jews, and all these religious people out here are arguing and fighting and, you know, pissing and moaning, and they're all excited, you know, about religion and church and being the deacon and one thing and another. And that's fine, because they don't understand what's going on around them. They don't understand this robo-rat. Robo-rat. The idea of placing living creatures under direct human command is certainly raising concerns over animal welfare. Not human welfare. Animal welfare. It's appalling. And yet another example of how the human species instrumentalizes other species, says Gil Langley of the Dr. Hadwin Trust based in Hitchin, Hertfordshire, which funds alternatives to animal-based research. They're opposed to animal-based research. Not because it is going to adversely affect human beings or humankind, but because it's going to adversely affect animals. God forbid, wouldn't you say? Hang on. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Tonight's report on the mark of the beast. Well, welcome to Tax Freedom Day. Tax Freedom Day is May 12th, and you work all of January, February, March, April, and a third of May to pay your income tax for the year. That's right. You got to work 5 1/3 months. Well, let's see, it's 4 1/3 months. But that's not all. And then you can work the rest of May and all of June to pay the balance of your withholding taxes. You see, the income tax and Social Security are two criminal enterprises. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. And this income tax and Social Security also violate 3 of the 10 commandments and 8 statutes of the scriptures, including our English common law. Now, there are 14 million Americans in this country that are not enrolled in Social Security. That's right. I'm one of them. And there are more of us opting out every day. And that's why I contend that you ought to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Do I really want to participate in communism? Why don't you call or write today and ask for my free general law CD package. To order that free general law CD package, just call direct 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or go to my website, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org. Or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the mark of the beast. Now let's take a look at some more on this brain electrode concept here. Animal experiments such as drug trials are usually justified using the utilitarian argument. For a procedure to be acceptable, any suffering caused to an animal is supposed to be outweighed by an obvious benefit to people. Well, there are some ethical issues here, which I can't deny, Talwar says, but he points out that the experiments stuck to guidelines laid down by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, and he insists that the animal cannot be dubbed a remote controlled rat. The rat was not forced to do anything, he says, as the technique works by stimulating the reward center of its brain. Now let's think about that for a minute. Let's put this electrode into your brain. And I want to stimulate you to practice sodomy. So what I do is I train you in this sodomy technique, and if you don't follow my instructions, if you don't follow my training, I'm going to stimulate your pain response. I'm going to give you an electric shock. I'm going to give you a burn pain. I'm going to do something bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil to you, and you're not going to like that. But if you will practice this sodomy practice, I will stimulate your sexual, your sexual receptors and make you feel like you've just had sex with Gina Lola Brigida. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to follow what feels good, aren't you? And after all, that's what animals are supposed to do. And that's what humanist philosophy and humanist religion teaches. If it feels good, do it. Just because God has instructed you not to do that, you know, don't pay any attention to that. I would imagine that murder feels good. I mean, after all, you got these mass murderers out here, you know? And almost all of these mass murderers are homosexuals. Did you notice that? I suppose there might be a couple of them that aren't, but I'm just pointing out that most of these mass murderers, you know, that go out and practice mass murder, they're killing people for some kind of sexual pleasure. And almost always it's some kind of perverted sex, you know, they're sodomites or they're pedophiles or something on that order. That's what the police discover when they catch these guys. And they go out and they kill 20, 30 people. And it feels good. I mean, after all, if it feels good, you ought to do it. And pedophilia must feel good. So why not let pedophiles practice pedophilia because it feels good? You know, why not let murderers kill people because it feels good? Why not let people just do whatever feels good? You know, if you're going to live in an organized society, civil society we call it, you have to have some rules. You got to have some guidelines. Now, there's a guy named God. He came along and he said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he said, in an organized civil society, you know, among human beings, we have to have these rules. And he's got 759 of them. Not too many. You've got more than 2,000 in your state traffic code. You people that have licenses to drive, you know that you've got 2,000 of these laws, and you practice all of them all of the time. I hear people tell me, you cannot practice the law of God, but you can practice the traffic law of Illinois. I don't understand how you people can do 2,000 laws in the traffic code of Illinois and can't do 759 in the law of Moses. You just can't contain yourself, and you got to go out and dink around with your neighbor's wife. You just can't control yourself, so you got to steal your neighbor's lawnmower. You know, when people steal, we arrest them and put them in jail, don't we? Isn't that why we have a lot of people in prison, is because that they're thieves, they're burglars, they're robbers? Evidently, they can't control their impulse to steal, and so we say, well, we can't allow that. And so we lock them up in prison. I don't understand the logic behind locking a guy up in prison for theft and then legalizing sodomy and bestiality and adultery and so on. But that's what we've done. And then we complain about people running around practicing pedophilia. And I don't understand you Catholics out there either, because you got 35% of the Catholic clergy in Boston who are pedophiles or sodomites. 35%. Now, that's a third of your Catholic priests. Do you think that that's only in Boston, and they don't have pedophiles and homosexuals in the Los Angeles diocese or the San Francisco diocese? It's just in Boston. And I guess Catholics evidently accept that because it's evidently sodomy and pedophilia is acceptable within the rank and file of the Catholic Church. I don't understand why these Catholics are suing the church and its church officials for money damages for practicing what feels good. I mean, after all, those priests don't have wives, and it must feel good. Can you see the insanity that goes on around us under the guise of religion? You know, I can readily understand scientists and educated people rejecting the Bible and rejecting religion because it's insane. Well, it's insane the way it's being taught and practiced and used. Well, going on here, he says, in this case, the stimulation appeared to act like a prod rather than a reward. Prod, that's what I said. You know, we're going to give you this stimulation as a prod. I will trigger your brain sense that makes you feel like you have just picked up a red hot rivet in your left hand if you don't do what I want you to do. But if you do what I want you to do, then I will make it feel like you've just eaten a T-bone steak with a baked potato, and it'll feel real good. In other words, what these people are advocating is that we destroy your free moral agency. We're going to control you, and we're going to let you choose what you want to do. You know, we're going to train you in what we believe you ought to be trained in. Now, let's carry this out to its logical conclusion. All of you Mormons out there, we're going to train you in Roman Catholicism. Now, I know in the past you have rejected Roman Catholicism, but that's wrong. See, there are a billion Roman Catholics out there, and there's only 13 million of you Mormons. So obviously you people are dead wrong. And we are going to stimulate your brains. We're going to change your outlook in life, but we're not going to force you to do it. We're not going to turn you into a robot. We're going to put these chips in your brain, and then we're going to train you to make three laps around the beads, which you Mormons don't do and don't want to do. And we're going to hand you this rosary, and we're going to teach you. We're going to train you in how to flip through these beads. Now, I'm going to give you the beads, and then I'm going to stimulate you through my computer to make your run through the beads. And if you don't do it voluntarily, I am going to trigger your pain receptor and make you really hurt all over. I'm going to cause you great pain. And then if you go through the beads and you do it correctly, then I'm going to trigger your pleasure receptors and I'm going to make you feel real good. Do you Mormons actually want to do that? Do you want to be implanted? Now, I can see this. The Mormons get this technology, and they're going to convert all of you Catholics, all of you bead flippers. They're going to change you. Just who is going to play God here, and who is going to control this technology? Yeah, it's kind of like the atomic bomb, you know. Who's going to control this technology? The North Koreans say, well, you Americans should not have a monopoly. You Westerners, you English, French, Russians, and Americans should not have a corner on this technology. After all, the Chinese have it, so why shouldn't we? After all, the Indians have it, why shouldn't we? You Americans have this technology, why shouldn't we? This is Pandora's box. And now, these people that are pushing this kind of technology, this good doctor here, I'm sure that he's got a PhD. I'm sure that this guy is well-educated. But when you stop and think about where this technology is going to lead, who's going to control it? Well, we hope we Americans are going to control it, just like we Americans invented the atomic bomb and said, gee, we hope we control it. But gee, you got 10 or 12 countries in the world now that have atomic weapons. Israel has the atomic bomb and the Arabs want it. And in fact, the Muslims have it. The Pakistanis have it, boys and girls. Now, those Pakistanis are Muslims. And you Jews over there ought to realize that, hey, listen, is nuclear weaponry or nuclear technology good for mankind? Or would it be better if maybe the Jews didn't have the bomb and maybe the Pakistanis didn't have the bomb? Would we be better off, or would we be better off with the Jews and the Pakistanis possessing this nuclear weaponry? Yes, it's a thought, isn't it? My conclusion is, I don't think that nuclear weaponry has benefited mankind at all. None. Now, let's take a fast forward here. Talwar has so far, wired up 5 rats. He suggests that other electrodes could be added to give additional commands, like faster or up and down. In theory, the technique should work with any animal that has an MFB, including most mammals and birds, although it's likely that higher animals could learn to ignore the commands. Oh. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to be one of those higher mammals, and I'm going to ignore the commands. And when I ignore my master's commands, I mean, after all, the guy that's got the computer over here, and I've got these electrodes in my brain and these brain chips, who's the master and who's the servant? Do we really want these chips and electrodes in our brains? Do we really want to be the servants of some guy over here who's going to be running a computer and triggering pain sensors in our brain or pleasure sensors? Are you really sure? Let's try this one out. I've got my ideas in life, and I'm going to implant these sensors in your brain, and I'm going to run. George Gordon is going to run the computer, and I'm going to determine right and wrong and good and bad, and I'm going to trigger your pain sensors or your pleasure sensors, and I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. I'm going to train you to do what I want to do. You know, not even God Almighty, the creator of the universe, has had that kind of perverse thought in his brain. He gave you free moral agency. He gave you free choice. He said, I've got my ideas, and I think Passover is the right plan for you, but I'm going to let you choose between Passover and Easter. And we Western Anglo-Saxons have all chosen Easter, and to hell with Passover. You know, God gave you free moral agency, and what you want to do is to take it away. In fact, I think that you're going to walk in and have this chip placed in your hand. I think you'll walk in and get that chip, even though God Almighty told you that's a bad practice. You don't want to do that. You better be thinking about that before you do it. Hang on. I'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and eighth planks of the Communist Manifesto. And these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. This income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. And the income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. The income tax requires that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. And Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. We call that income redistribution, but the scripture calls it just what it is: theft and covetousness, in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Now, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that better way and wrote it into our Constitution. And that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn and practice a better way of life than Social Security and income tax. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School, and it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Tax and status is also available on compact disc for adult home education. That's the school itself, tax and status. That's about 30 hours of instruction plus 46 lessons that I teach in this thing of tax and status. And we go into the scripture, and I'll show you why from the scripture this income tax is a criminal occupation, a criminal endeavor. And tithing takes 10%. The income tax takes up to 40%. Doesn't your common sense tell you that you could live a lot better on the 30% difference? Just thought I'd throw that one out for your consideration. God thought you'd live better paying a 10% tax than a 40, 50, 60, or 70% tax. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the mark of the beast. Now, this mark of the beast is a chip. It's an implant that's going to go into your right hand and into your forehead. Now, this chip at this moment in time is not capable. RFID is not capable at this moment in time of being tied into the GPS, Global Position Satellite, but it's coming. The technology is, we're right on the cutting edge. It's being done, but it's just not out there yet. Now, there's another aspect to this that's really scary, and that's this concept of the bionic rat. We heard of the bionic man back in the 70s. There was a television series, and that's what this is a takeoff on. And, of course, we want to be able to control people. The ultimate end to this is not controlling rats, boys and girls, or controlling cows or dogs or pigs or sheep or chickens or anything else. The ultimate end to this technology is controlling people. When the IRS develops this technology, they will control you and your taxes. When your government develops this technology, they will reduce you to something less than a guardian ward relationship. I mean, this is the kind of technology, this is satanic to its core. It's the difference, as I've pointed out before, between education and indoctrination. Indoctrination is what we practice in our public schools today. What we do is we take into public school and we say, this is education. And education is evolution. And we're going to teach you evolutionary philosophy, alternative lifestyles, sodomy, bestiality, fornication. And this is what we call education. We're not going to offer you any alternative. We will not tell you anything about God, the Bible, about fornication, disease, or sodomy and the lifespan of sodomites. We're not going to tell you any of that. We're going to indoctrinate you with, if it feels good, do it. Education is the exact opposite. Education is where I come on the air and I say, look, boys and girls, there's a choice to be made here. You've got adultery on the one hand, which is a crime and has a penalty ascribed to it, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And then there's marriage and sanctity of family. Thou shalt not commit adultery, which develops long life. You know, you can live 25,550 days, or you can die at age 39 or 45, which is what the average lifespan of a sodomite is. Now, that's the difference that we see here between the Scripture, which offers education. People look at the Scripture and say, well, it's negative. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. God, that's negative. Thou shalt not jump off of the Empire State Building. Thou shalt not jump out of airplanes without a parachute. You know, that's just common sense. You don't have to be too bright to follow a negative instruction that is going to protect your life, liberty, or property. And I pointed out earlier in this series that the real problem has to do with the carnal mind. Your natural, normal mind, the way God has designed you, is enmity against God. You hate Him. And God told us that back in 1 Samuel chapter 8. He said, you know, you people don't like Me. Never have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you be reformed by your own devices. I'm going to let you do whatever it is that makes you feel good. And people will call me and say, I don't understand why God allows disease like AIDS. It's because AIDS is the penalty for a crime. It's the penalty. It's the natural penalty. You see, God isn't running around watching you like the FBI and the IRS does. God does not have a tap on your telephone. He doesn't need it. God left here about 1,500 years ago and went back out to the third heaven, and He's sitting out there waiting for His return. He's coming back. He said He'd come back just before, right on the verge, when you people are just about to the point where you're about to annihilate all life from off the planet. He said, now I'm going to step in and intervene. That way He can come back and say, hey, boys and girls, did you learn anything from that? And He's going to walk up to you and He's going to ask you, did you learn anything from that? You practiced sodomy because it felt good. You died of AIDS, dementia, at age 42. Did you learn anything from that? Did you find out from your own personal experience that sodomy produces a lot of pain, anguish, and suffering? And then He's going to say, well, now let me show you a new trick. Let me give you this woman over here. I think that you're going to enjoy this woman a whole lot more. And this sex within marriage is a better design mechanism than sodomy. And let me show you something here about pig. You know, this pig tastes good. There's no doubt about it. But it gives you trichinosis and you die from things like arthritis. Now, all you people that are suffering from arthritis are suffering from congestive pig syndrome. That's what you've got. You've got arthritis or rheumatism, and it's caused by eating pig. And you're sitting there saying, it is not, and I don't believe it. I don't care. I didn't come here to convince you that I'm right. I just came here to tell you. Just came here to give you the information. If you want it, take it. And if you don't, leave it alone. I'm not suffering any pain. Doesn't hurt me. But if you're suffering pain, and if you've got arthritis or rheumatism, or if you've got some other degenerative disease, you could cure that degenerative disease, but the first thing you got to do is stop breaking the law that created it. So if you jump off of a building and break your leg, and then your leg heals, and you jump off the building and break your leg a second time, you're not too bright. But when you do it the third time, you're incorrigible. There's nothing you can do with a fool, and it's not my mission in life to protect every fool from his folly. It is necessary, and it's like casting pearls before swine. You cannot convince a fool of his foolishness. So, just let him go about his business. God has already set a neat program in play. Sodomites don't have to be persecuted and killed. The law requires it, and you're supposed to take them out and stone them to death after they've been tried and convicted. It should be the law of your land, but you people have decided that it's a bad law, and so you're not going to do that. That's fine. But listen, there's a natural law that's in force and effect also, you know, called AIDS, herpes, VD, hepatitis. And disease is what happens to people that break the law. And it's just one of 28 penalties that you pay for violation of the law. Now, here we're talking about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a violation of the law. If the creator of the universe told you, don't do that. Social Security is the mark of the beast. Now, sticking that mark of the beast in your right hand so that you can go into Walmart and buy things is going to add, it's going to compound, it's going to add insult to injury. It's going to get worse. So you go to chapter 26 of Leviticus, and you'll see the personal pronoun I, which appears there 20 times. 20 times, the personal pronoun I. And this is God speaking, and he says, I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do that to you, and I did this, and I did that, and another thing. And it's future tense. It's something that he's going to do in the future. And then the prophecy is dated. It identifies the great tribulation and the end times. This is the time you're living in. This is the time that Daniel pinpointed. He said, knowledge shall be increased. 90% of all the scientists that have ever lived are alive today. And what we're talking about here are these scientists that are going to create this mind-boggling. This is really scary. The research and the researchers implanted one of the electrodes into the medial forebrain bundle, the part of the brain responsible for sensing reward. And then they placed the other two in parts of the cordial area that receives stimulation from the left and right whiskers. And finally, a radio receiver tucked inside of a rat-sized backpack was plugged into the interface in the rat skull. Now the rats were trained to learn that they would be rewarded with continuous zaps to the MFB when they moved forwards or when they turned according to an appropriate stimulation of the left or right whisker. This is the destruction of your free moral agency. This isn't education. This is indoctrination. This isn't freedom. This is slavery. This isn't liberty. God calls the Bible, God calls His law the perfect law of liberty. We Americans patterned our Constitution after the Mosaic Law, which was patterned after the English Common Law, which was patterned after Alfred the Great's 49 dooms, which was patterned after the Mosaic Law that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai. That's where freedom and liberty come from, boys and girls. It doesn't come from having an implant put into your brain or this kind of scientific technology. This guy, Talwar, likens the control over the rat to be the way a donkey can be steered by a carrot on a stick. Though driven by a desire to be rewarded, the donkey remains in control of its movements. Using the same principle, the rat can be trained to do things that it would normally, do, such as walking into brightly lit open spaces or jumping off of a ledge. So rats, you know, they run across rooms that are brightly lit in the daytime, and they jump off of ledges. Do they jump off of ledges 14 stories above the ground, or is that they jump off of ledges that are 3 feet off the ground or a foot off the ground? Now, when we come back, I gotta take another break here. When we come back, we'll take a look at this guy's experiments, and can you make this animal do something that it would not normally do, like jump off of the 14th story? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, we can make it do that. We can make this rat do things that it would not normally do, and we could even make this rat commit suicide. And you want this kind of technology running around? You want George Bush and John Kerry to have this kind of technology? You want Kim Il-sung of North Korea? You want the Russians, the Chinese, to have this kind of technology? Well, stand by. It's coming. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Tonight's report is on the mark of the beast. You know, when people call the law school and they ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air, keep in mind that most of the topics that you hear on the radio, I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great that codified the common law back in 872 AD into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 of those statutes are incorporated into our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic Law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. That's recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. And it includes negligence, insurance, and taxes, such as income, property, and Social Security taxes. Now, these IRS tax laws are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of Scripture, and they work a theft on everyone who participates in them. After all, the income tax is the penalty that we all pay for the violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and that's the basis of my tax and status school. Now, we owe this income tax and Social Security tax because we've contracted into it. Has it occurred to any of us that maybe we ought to contract out of it? Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for my free general law CD package? Remember, it's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. Now, I'm citing some information here from an article called thenewscientist.com. You can go to thenewscientist.com yourself, newscientist.com. And we're reading a little bit more here about the robotic rat, which I thought was pretty fascinating. It reminded me of Genesis 11:6, now that these people, you know, have all one language, nothing will be restrained from them. We're living in that age. Most of the scientific community around the world speaks English. Once we got this language barrier out of the way, so that scientists from India, scientists from England, scientists from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, scientists from France, Germany, and Russia, you know, once we train these scientists in the language of English, which is the language of science, and we cut them loose and we put them in these laboratories, nothing is being restrained from them. We live in a pretty phenomenal age, an age that's not only neat, it's neat from the perspective or from the idea that we have electricity and that does a lot of work for us, you know that? And we have automobiles and we have machines and they do a lot of work for us. And of course, these same machines, these airplanes, drop bombs and kill people. And these automobiles, you know, we can put engines in big machines and call them tanks and shoot people and kill them. And we use our technology for good and evil. The history of mankind has been that whenever we discover something, whether it be fire, gunpowder, bows and arrows, or nuclear weapons, we go out and use it for some evil purpose to kill people with. Now, with this new technology, this robo-rat that they're talking about here, you know, do you believe for a minute that when the Russians, the Chinese, or somebody else gets a hold of this kind of technology, and then they capture a soldier out in the field, don't you think they're going to take him in, give him a shot of sedative, and then implant this in his brain? I mean, as time progresses along, I imagine you'll be able to put this kind of technology into this little grain-sized, you know, piece and stick it right into your hand, and they'll be able to control you right there. I mean, once it's in your body, they'll be able to control your brain with this little thingy over here by stimulating your brain sensors. I can just picture this, and what are these guys concerned about? They're concerned about animal welfare. They're concerned about, gee, does this rat feel good about this? I tell you, boys and girls, I'm a whole lot more concerned about the misuse of it and how it's going to be used against me. Now, Gary Francione, C-I-O-N-E, I guess it's Francione, an expert in animal welfare law at Rutgers University School of Law, says the animal is no longer functioning as an animal, as the rat is operating under someone's control. And the issue goes beyond whether or not the stimulations are compelling or rewarding the rat to act. There's got to be a level of discomfort in implanting these electrodes, he says, which may be difficult to justify. Well, gee, if it hurts or if it doesn't feel good, what do you care about a prisoner of war? Look what we Americans were doing over in the Abu Ghraib prison. If we could take those same prisoners, give them a shot of sodium pentothal, truth serum, to get them to confess, couldn't we give them a shot of some sedative and implant this in their brain so that we could control their stimulus and responses, so that we could get information? I mean, after all, it's to protect us from terrorism, isn't it? And you always want to remember, boys and girls, that what you can do to the other guy can do to you. You know, we dropped an atom bomb on the Japanese, but one of these days you may see those North Koreans dropping an atom bomb on Los Angeles. You know, what's good for the goose is sauce for the gander. Talwar says that the animals probably could not be persuaded to risk their lives in any way. Even so, he admits he cannot rule out coercion completely. For instance, the rats were never trained to jump off of a ledge, but would do so when commanded to go forward. So, you know, if we put a human being on the 105th floor of the Empire State Building and then we commanded him to move forward, would he do that? The rats do. In this case, the stimulation appeared to act like a prod rather than a reward. Previous research has shown that if rats are stimulated electrically in this reward center, every time they press a lever, they may continue doing so until they die. I mean, we could just press your pleasure sensor until you just writhed in ecstasy and just died from an overexertion of your heart. Talwar suggests wired animals would be ideal for search and rescue operations, as they could be directed through rubble to look for survivors and would be easier to navigate than mechanical robots. But Langley is concerned that other scientists will repeat the experiments on other animals despite the ethical issues that this raises. The U.S. Federal Animal Welfare Act doesn't cover rodents or birds, and she points out, so researchers would not need a license or ethical approval. Now listen, what you can do in the United States, you can do in some other country, and you can rest assured that this technology is not going to be withholden from the North Koreans. I mean, after all, this is out here now in NewScientist.com. Don't you think that the Chinese military says, ooh, goody, look what the Americans are doing. Let's go steal this technology from the Americans like they stole our missile technology during the Clinton years. I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real, shall we? Now listen, some of you out there, when you listen to these programs, you say to yourself, well, there's no hope and we're all doomed. Listen, flip over here to Exodus 23, starting at verse 20. Let me read you the good news here. Because the God of Israel, the God of Moses, says, you know, when these guys come along and they want to plant this microchip in you, here's what I'm going to do to them. If you obey me, practice my law, do what I tell you to do, then you and I are going to have a guardian ward relationship, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to protect you from these kinds of satanic monsters. Listen to this. It says, behold, I send an angel, starting in verse 20, this is chapter 23 of Exodus. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I've prepared. So beware of him. This is Big Mike. Now beware of Big Mike and obey his voice and provoke him not. Do not give Big Mike the finger, because Big Mike will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. He's the chief executive officer representing the kingdom of God on planet Earth. Verse 22, but if you will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Now I would submit to you, boys and girls, you Christians out there, if you're concerned about the mark of the beast, if you're concerned about this kind of technology, that you reconsider your Christian philosophies and your giving God the finger over here and reconsider, is it plausible that you could obey God and keep His commandments and therefore get some of His benefits and blessings? I know it's a wild new concept for you religious people out there. You irreligious people haven't heard it to start with, so it's not nearly as big a leap. But think about that. The IRS is coming after you, and God protects you from the IRS. I mean, if God could protect Daniel from the lions, could God protect you from the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, or the United States Army, or the Russian Army, or somebody else? It's just throw out there for you to consider. In verse 23, it says, "For my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, the Russians, and the Chinese." And he says, "I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall totally overthrow them and quite break down their images." Now here in verse 23, he, in ancient times, talking about this story to Moses, he said, "I'll take in to the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites, and cut them off." Hey, he destroyed those seven nations. I mean, he just went in there and he destroyed them. Now today, we don't have Jebusites and Hivites and Amorites to plague us, but we do have the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, and a whole host and plethora of government agencies and agents that are eating out our substance. Has it ever occurred to us that maybe, just maybe, God might protect you from these government agencies over here if you would obey Him and keep His commandments? I know that's a wild new concept, but tuck it away in your heart. And he goes on to say, "You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them." Do not bow down to the God of the United States or New York or Pennsylvania, nor serve them, nor do after their works, their wickedness and evil. But you shall totally overthrow them and quite break down their images, and you shall serve the Eternal your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and He will take sickness away from the midst of you. You know, God told you not to eat unclean foods because it was bad for you and it's going to give you disease. If you would stop eating these unclean meats, I'm going to just shift you off here for a minute. Take a look at Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 and ask yourself, could you live the rest of your life eating what you're told to eat and not eating what you're told not to eat? I mean, would it kill you? Or do you think maybe you might live? Because if you'll stop eating fat, blood, pig, shellfish, etc., you know, your immune system, just your body's natural immune system, if you'll feed it, you know, vitamins and minerals and so on, will cure your diseases. Your immune system will clean your body out, and it'll throw out those toxins and wastes. It takes time to do that, and there's ways for you to speed that up. And the reason I suggest that is that people call the law school quite often, and they complain about their infirmities. And I say, well, you know, you're suffering these pains and these symptoms over here because you're a criminal, and because you violate these laws, and because you violate these laws, you get the penalty. It's just that simple. There's no big mystery about it. All right. Hey, we'll be back next time. We'll be talking about wetware and more of this brain machine interfaces, what and when, and DARPA, the Defense Department's project analysis here, and we'll tell you a little bit more about this brain control. You've been listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. Now, I'm out of time. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. I've got to leave it right there. God willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow night. So until then, good night, friends.